This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report.
And this is James Evan Pilato of Media Monarchy, and we both welcome you back to another edition of The New World Next Week, of course available on newworldnextweek.com. Media Monarchy, Corbett Report, joining forces now for our 77th episode to give you the most important developments in alternative news and open source intelligence. And we'll begin with a story posted to foodworldorder.com. Lawsuit says Whole Foods organic China veggies from polluted prisons. And we add that you won't hear about this in the Whole Foods parking lot. But a Florida judge allowed a lawsuit to proceed that claims Whole Foods Market Incorporated violated the state's deceptive trade practices law by selling frozen vegetables from China grown in a polluted region by prisoners and certified as organic. Miami-Dade County Circuit Judge Amy Steele Donner denied the grocery chain's motion to dismiss the suit filed on behalf of the Southeast Consumer Alliance Incorporated, a nonprofit organization based in Boca Raton, Florida. The suit claims that Whole Foods knew that its Silver River supplier, based in the Chinese province of Zhejiang, was actually a front company for a network of farms where Chinese prisoners are forced to work and that the farms are irrigated from a highly polluted river. The suit also claims that the Austin, Texas-based Whole Foods knew that the company providing the initial organic certification is owned by the Chinese government, which also owns the farms, creating a conflict of interest. The attorney, Bruce Baldwin, said, quote, "They're doing everything they can to conceal this bogus or shaky certification. Whole Foods brags about its social accountability audits of all its foreign suppliers. So either they knew about these forced labor camps or they didn't actually check," end quote. A spokeswoman for the grocery chain didn't immediately return a phone call seeking comment. Whole Foods attorney Christopher Wayne Wadsworth said he wasn't authorized to comment on the case. In court filings, Wadsworth argued that the suit amounts to little more than an unsupported slur against China's farming industry and a meritless attack on Whole Foods' stated corporate values and goals. Baldwin said Whole Foods pulled many of its Chinese frozen vegetables off the shelf after he filed the suit, but that the company continues to sell Chinese soybeans. The case, which is seeking class action or group certification, was originally filed in 2009 and amended last year to include the deceptive trade practices claim. To back up his claims, Baldwin filed exhibits of news reports about forced labor and pollution in China. And the case is called Southern Consumer Alliance, Inc. v. Whole Foods Market, Inc. in the Miami-Dade County Circuit Court. And the related note, as they reference the class action suit, the recent story about Walmart's victory against a class action suit, maybe doesn't give us a whole lot of hope there. But James, as we were discussing before the show, it seems as though we end up kind of covering similar stories that unfortunately just keep growing and expanding and getting worse.
Right, but nonetheless, we have to cover them because they keep coming up, and people might want to reference this back to that story that came out in February. I'm not sure if it was on Food World Order, but it was on Natural News and other outlets about organic giants Whole Foods, Organic Valley, and Stonyfield accused of compromising on GMOs. So Whole Foods has been involved in a number of scandals about their supposed values and everything for a while now. But being here in Japan, I really know nothing about Whole Foods or that chain. Is it really popular in the States? What's the sort of vibe and buzz around it?
It's interesting that you do ask that, because as I add at the top of this article, kind of seeking to glom on to some of the viral internet memes, there's a viral video out. It's sort of a funny satirical hip-hop song called Whole Foods Parking Lot, talking and joking about how difficult it is to find a parking place. I was talking with a coworker yesterday in the grocery store, the independent grocery store chain I work for here in Portland, Oregon. We were like, well, Portland Whole Foods don't really have that problem. Their parking lots are kind of empty, because I think here we do have more options for folks. So whether you're going to, you know, a chain such as that I work at that's kind of big, or you can even go to some of the local co-ops. I've always felt like whenever I've gone into Whole Foods that it felt like a Bed Bath & Beyond, that it didn't feel like a grocery store at all, that it felt more of just an upscale kind of place. Do they have great items? Absolutely. It's jokingly referred to here in the States as Whole Paycheck, which is what it costs to get food.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's some helpful background. I saw the Whole Foods parking lot video, and so I kind of got the idea, but I've never been to one, so I don't really know about it. But I mean, it's a question of where people want to place their money, and if they want to put their money in a corporation or an institution that's empowering, you know, Chinese companies that employ slave labor and things like that. I mean, we have to be aware of where our money is going, and we have to use it to empower those things that we want. And hopefully to try to keep it local, and that's one key towards independence and food independence, which, as the listeners and viewers out there know, is a key and central concept to what we're fighting for.
One quick thing I'll mention is something my girlfriend and I do here, and we've been doing it for a while, and I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on the show here, a service called Organics to You, that you basically get local, in-season, organic produce delivered to your door as frequently or infrequently and as much or as little as you want. And it's a nice, great step to at least know where that stuff is coming from. But James, let's now move to our second story that's posted to MediaMonarchy.com and originally comes from the EconomicCollapseBlog.com. The financial collapse of Greece, a canary in the coal mine for global economy. The rest of the world needs to sit up and take notice of what is going on in Greece right now. This is what can happen when you allow government debt to spiral out of control. Once it becomes clear that you can't pay your debts, a financial collapse can happen very suddenly, and you start losing your sovereignty to those that you must turn to for financial help. So is the financial collapse of Greece the canary in the coal mine for the global economy? EU finance ministers have given the Greek government 2 weeks from this past Monday to approve another round of brutal austerity measures. If the austerity measures are not approved, Greece will not receive the next bailout installment of 12 billion euros. If that happens, the whole globe better buckle up because it's going to get crazy. July 3rd is the deadline. Basically, the EU has put a gun to the head of the Greek government. Without this bailout money, Greece will default and economic hell will break loose all across the country. It's important to keep in mind that this is just the first Greek bailout that we're talking about. This isn't the first. Last year, the EU and the IMF agreed to provide the Greek government with 110 billion euro bailout, and the current 12 billion euro installment is part of that package. Sadly, it's become apparent that the first bailout is not going to be nearly enough for Greece. A second bailout, which will be the same size or even larger, is already being discussed. This is going to put the Greek people in even more under the heel of the money powers in Europe. Keeping in mind that all of these bailouts are just more loans. There's no way that the Greeks are ever going to be able to repay all of that money, but this is what happens when a nation lets debt get out of control. For years and years, it can seem like all that debt does not have any consequence, but then the day of reckoning comes, and it's a complete and total nightmare. And I'll add the joking aside that, oh gosh, sure glad we're not in that situation here in the States. Ha ha. The update I have, James, is beleaguered Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou survived a close confidence vote in Parliament early Wednesday, paving the way for a new round of tough budget cuts, tax hikes, and asset sales. James?
Yes, well, Papandreou survived, but Papa Constantino obviously survived as well, the Minister of Finance who just happens to attend Bilderberg every year, so... Oh. So, yeah, it's just the same old bunch of cronies that are running the whole show, and they're the ones that are going to obviously go along with whatever the IMF is telling them to do. And the IMF is obviously not on the side of the Greek people, and they're in it for their pound of flesh. And unfortunately, this is something that's going to be coming around to more and more countries. I really do see this as a canary in the coal mine type of situation. And I was just reading a pretty startling headline that by... I can't remember if it was 2015, something like that. Every European household is going to owe something like 1,400 euros of debt, of the Greek people's debt. I mean, it's just a staggering sum of money that's being pumped into this tiny nation that that managed to rack up some ridiculous amount of debt. And people have to remember that debt is slavery. I mean, when you're in debt to someone, you are their slave. And that's exactly why our system is based on debt, and that's why our money is created as debt, and that's exactly why we have to reform the system completely from the branches, from the roots up, because if we're just hacking at the branches, we're never going to get to the problem, and that's exactly what these austerity measures are. They're hacking at branches and trying to basically just eliminate the poor people of the population, and it's a terrible thing, but it's going to be coming to country after country unless we start implementing fundamental reforms and do it now.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're referencing, that's a Henry David Thoreau quote about striking at the root, getting at the source of these problems. And again, we'll see it in Greece, and we'll see it here in the States. And you said it exactly right. It's debt. It's printed out of thin air. And it's done by people who, you know, some who later have a change of heart come out and write books called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And that is how, you know, that's how these guys roll. And until we kind of take things back into our own hands and vote with our dollars, just as we were discussing in story one, are we ever going to try and shake through any of this, James?
Well, it's a good question and one we're going to have to see. But unless people start getting turned on and switched on to monetary reform and start engaging in that debate more lively fashion, unfortunately, I think nothing's going to really fundamentally change.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see now here in the States, as the good Lord, the 2012 election, you know, racket has already ratcheted up, but already how interesting it is to see how Ron Paul is still really, you know, they still bend over backwards to not really talk about Ron Paul and not really talk about his issues. Am I as, you know, fervent a supporter as I was in 2007 and 8? You know, absolutely not. But does he still bring fundamentally important issues to the forefront? He tries if it gets coverage.
Right. Well, he's still the best on the Republican ticket, as far as I can see, and it's interesting. Apparently, Gingrich is now moving towards that and saying that an audit of the Fed is going to be a key part of his platform if he gets elected. So,
and as we've discussed, so many other areas are sort of, you know, oh, we need to get outside the box, but when you step outside that box, there's another sort of problem, reaction, solution situation that we have to be aware of. So, James, for our third story, it's actually going to be basically a blast of headlines. This comes from the fantastic blacklistednews.com, and it's 12 things that the mainstream media is being strangely quiet about right now, and I've just broken the pieces down to the bullet points. Number one, the crisis at the Fort Calhoun nuclear facility in Nebraska has received almost no attention in the national mainstream media, and I do have a full report posted to Media Monarchy, and we'll include the link to go into that story. Tying in with those nuclear plants, there is even breaking news right now about Virginia's Surry Nuclear Unit 2 restart stalls, and Minot, North Dakota is being evacuated as record floods imminent. So all of these floods and nuclear situations seem to be coming to a head, if you will. But number two, most Americans are aware that the U.S. is involved in wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya. However, the truth is that the U.S. military is also regularly bombing Yemen and parts of Pakistan. If you count the countries where the U.S. has special forces and or covert ops on the ground, the U.S. is probably active in more countries in the Middle East than it is not. Now there are even persistent rumors that U.S. ground units are being prepared to go into Libya. Number three, the crisis at Fukushima continues to get worse. Arne Gunderson, former nuke industry senior VP, recently made the following statement about the Fukushima disaster, quote, "Fukushima is the biggest industrial catastrophe in the history of mankind," end quote. And TEPCO has now finally admitted that the disasters released more radioactive material into the environment than Chernobyl did. Number four, members of Congress continue to mention Christians as a threat to national security. For example, during a recent congressional hearing, U.S. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee warned that Christian militants might try to bring down the country and that such groups need to be investigated. Number five, China's eastern province of Zhejiang has experienced the worst flooding that it's seen in 55 years. Number six, thanks to the Dodd-Frank Act, over-the-counter trading of gold and silver is going to be illegal in the U.S. starting on July 15th. Number seven, all over the world, huge cracks are appearing for no discernible reason. For example, a massive crack approximately 3 kilometers long recently appeared in southern Peru, cracks in Michigan, sinkholes all over the world, and more. Number eight, according to the U.S. Forest Service officials, the largest wildfire in Arizona state history has now covered more than 500,000 acres, but based on the coverage that's being given by mainstream media, you'd think it was a non-event. Number nine, there are reports that North Korea has tested a super EMP weapon, that's electromagnetic pulse, which would be capable of taking out most of the U.S. power grid in a single shot. The North Koreans are apparently about to conduct another nuclear test, and that is some Obama administration officials very concerned. Number 10, all over the U.S., active shooter drills are being conducted in our public schools. Often, most of the students are not told that the drills are a fake. Number 11, NASA has just launched a major preparedness initiative for all their NASA personnel, telling their families to get ready. And number 12, over the past week, over 40 temporary no-fly zones have been declared over the U.S. by the FAA. James, any of those you want to quickly hit here in our remaining 30 seconds? I set you up for 2 points there.
Well, that's quite a mouthful, so thanks for going over that. But it's a great article, lots of good stories there. One could almost do this on a monthly basis and have another, you know, 15 stories every month that would be like this. But I think the over-the-counter gold and silver trading bans, I think that's huge. I think that's really important. So I'm glad someone's covering it.
And I just wanted to kind of get a lot of those bullet points onto the record, because so many of those stories, again, we could give them their whole segments here on New World next week. But James, thanks again so much.
Thank you.